Hey everybody, I'm Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic. It's so good to see you, Chris, and it's so good to see everybody. I feel a little nervous. This is a little weird. I think this will be the first time I've ever told my story, obviously in quarantine, not getting any type of reaction or anything. So let me start my timer. So I grew up in... Wait, hang on a sec. This is so weird, you guys. I grew up in Northern Michigan, and I have three older brothers, and I grew up in domestic violence. And my mom and I were super close. My dad was the abuser. And so just kind of growing up, I mean, I was a happy little girl. I had a lot of friends. I did all kinds of stuff, and we actually did fun family things. But behind closed doors, it was just a different story. And probably like my first memory, back then when I was about 5 years old, I used to slam the door so hard on the hinges that it would fall off because I was so scared of what my dad was doing to my mom and my brothers. And, so just from that very young age, like I just kind of wanted to escape. And so, like I said, all through elementary school and on up, I was a happy girl, except, you know, at times at home. And because when I was in seventh grade, my family moved to a different town, and I was 12, and I really wanted to fit in. And so I was invited to a party, and there was all this liquor, and I guess the parents were upstairs, and there was a bunch of us, you know, 12-year-olds in the basement, and I just proceeded to drink Kahlua straight until I started puking my guts out. And so they, the girls, I remember, put me in this little room in a Lazy Boy in front of a TV with a trash can next to the Lazy Boy. I can barely remember. And like they all left me. They went and did whatever they did, and I was just puking in this trash can, you know, passed out in the Lazy Boy. And when I woke up the next day, like I couldn't wait to do it again. You know what I mean? And so obviously when I was 12, I couldn't drink very much. But that was where it all started for me. And also that year, I had like started getting really crazy about boys. And I can't exactly remember what happened, but it was in this different town. But this boy, I don't remember, it didn't work out, or he didn't like me or something. And I tried to OD on aspirin. I just went in the bathroom and I just took handfuls of aspirin, and I was just guzzling them down like I wanted to die. I tried to commit suicide. And my mom is a nurse, and so she thought I just had the flu, and like I was puking for like a day. And she just, she never, to this day, my mom does not know that I did that. And I clearly needed my stomach pumped. But anyway, so like at that age was just pivotal for me, just realizing that like, you know, I wanted to escape. I wasn't really happy inside. I kind of was looking elsewhere. And we moved back to my hometown. And so in eighth grade, now this is really bad. It was my brother, one of my brother's homecoming games for high school. And I went down in the woods with these boys. And my friend Tim had like a gym bag full of liquor. And I went with these boys. They were my friends, to go drinking in the woods. And I ended up drinking like a fifth of whiskey. And I mean, it was all kind of a blur. And by the time like someone realized something was going on, they went and got one of my brothers. And I barely remember, but I was laying in the bottom of a field, and a guy was about ready to rape me, pouring whiskey down my throat. And, he nearly got killed for my brother. But again, like the ambulance came, took me away. And they had an assembly at school about drinking. It's not funny, but anyway, so that's just kind of how it was. Like, I didn't hit the ground running, you know, with alcoholic drinking from a really young age. And so all through high school, I drank as much as I could, whenever I could. I had fun with my friends. I mean, we got drunk all the time. In Northern Michigan, there wasn't much to do. So we'd go to do field parties and just get drunk every weekend. And my oldest brother left when he was like 14. So he was pretty much absent. And then my other brothers, we were all about a year and a half apart. So we were actually in high school all at the same time, like 9th grade, 10th grade, 12th grade. And we were all, like, my brothers were involved in sports and I was involved in extracurricular, you know, like government acting. And so I did really good with grades and I had a lot of friends, but I was just miserable. And every time I drank like I did before until I puked or passed out. And, I really hated myself. And when I was, 16, my parents finally got divorced. And, that was also the year that one of my really good friends died. And it was just such a fucked up year. And so then I didn't have sex until I was 16. I can't believe it. But so when I, at 16, when I started having sex, I like never said no again. I started smoking pot when I was 14 too. So I smoked pot all the time, drank as much as I could. I still was active in like school activities. And then kind of my senior year, I started getting really depressed and just drinking a lot. I dropped out of everything that I did and graduated, went to college, and I picked a college, Central Michigan University. It was apparently in the top 10 party schools in Playboy magazine. So I was like, I'll go there. And my parents dropped me off. And I lived in these big dorms. They were like high-rise dorms. And I just remember the first day I got there, you know, I was up really high and I opened the windows and I yelled, spring break! And so, like, that was just oblivion. I mean, all I did was drink and smoke pot and sleep with guys and barely went to school. I mean, I went to class three times once. And it was just crazy. Started tripping on acid. And anyway, I guess, how old was I? I guess I was about 19. And my best friend and I decided to drop out of college. And so, and moved to South Carolina with her sister and brother. And we went in together to the registrar's office. And I just remember, I was like, yes, I'd like to drop out of school. And so, dropped out of school, moved to South Carolina, just so fucked up. And I started dating this like toothless drug dealer. And, so he'd get me anything I want, pay for all my drinks. I was a waitress at the Olive Garden. And I slipped one night at work and I hurt my back. Because we used to just drink all day and work at night and drink all night. And so I hurt my back. I was seriously injured. And I was living with my friend. We had gotten kicked out of our sisters. And so I was 19 and she left me in my apartment. And I don't know where the boyfriend was, but it was just that I drank all the alcohol that was in the refrigerator. I had like no other drugs except the pills they gave me for my back. I had no food. I actually had no money either. And I was waiting. I got these like starter checks in the mail. I mean, I didn't eat for like 3 days. It was just a disaster. Anyway, the boyfriend finally invited me to go live with him and his parents in their trailer. And so, I mean, you would think that would be like some type of bottom, but it wasn't. I went back to Michigan to have my surgery, and I had to recover from surgery. And so I lived with my younger brother was a born again Christian, and I am not, was not. And I had to live with him and his sister and my niece for like 2 months and live on their uncomfortable couch and like not drink or drug or do anything. And at the time, you know, I didn't think anything was wrong with me as far as, you know, alcoholic or anything like that. And I just couldn't fucking wait to get better and start drinking again. And so that's what I did. And honestly, like that time in South Carolina, when I was laying in that bed with no alcohol, no food, no money, it was dark. I was so miserable. Like that was kind of where the fun like ended. If it was fun, it was never fun again. And so from 19 to 21, it's kind of a blur. Like that's just kind of all I did was like drink and drug and sleep with guys. And I drove drunk thousands of times. It just kind of was all, that's all I did. I didn't have any hobbies. I didn't really do anything. And I decided to go back to school. I took some notes because I need to stay on track. Let me see here. Okay, so in the summer of 1992, I was hitting bottom with alcohol, not other drugs, but alcohol. Like I was so depressed, and for a lot of those years, like through high school too, I was really depressed and had suicidal thoughts a lot. But that by that summer, 2 years of that from 19 to age 21, I was so miserable and I was so suicidal. And I realized somehow that, like it might've been the drinking. And I don't really remember. I told my mom, you know, I guess I was honest with my mom enough for her to take me to the doctor. And, he told me that he thought I was an alcoholic. I mean, I was 21, you know, and I was just like, I'm not an alcoholic. And he's like, well, why don't you go on these pills? I don't know if there's some people know about Anabuse. It's this pill that they give you. And then if you drink on it, you're supposed to get really sick or something. And so I went on the Anabuse because I was like, okay, you know, I'll try that. I mean, I did drink on it, of course, but I didn't get violently sick, but something in me knew that like I didn't want to drink anymore. And so he told me to take the Anabuse and to come see him in a week and to try not to drink for a week. And I couldn't do it. And so when I went to go back to see when I saw him, like I couldn't even look at him in the eye. I can just remember looking down, like I couldn't look at him. And when I went to go back to him, I couldn't look at him. And he asked me, he was like, well, how'd you do? You know, did you drink? And I was like, he said, when's the last time you drank? And I said, last night. And so he, maybe that's when I went on the pills. I don't know. It's all blur. But at any rate, I went on Anabuse. That was at the end of the summer. And I decided to go back to school, to college. But at that time, like, I had a desire to stop drinking, but I didn't know that I was an alcoholic, but I did want to stop drinking. I was still smoking pot and, oh, I had also had my like coke days and I was still tripping on acid. I had a couple of, you know, smoke and crack periods as well. Those are some highlights. But anyway, at that time, I went back to college and I was scared. I didn't know anybody. I'm like, I basically didn't have any friends anymore because if people didn't drink or drug or sleep around with guys or do the shit that I did, like I didn't want to be around anybody. And so, I didn't know anybody. And I literally was just walking across campus and I stumbled upon the health services building. So I went in. And I just found this pamphlet It said R3P, Recovery Persons Prevention Program. And I opened it up and it was about these kids on campus that were like recovering from all different kinds of whatever, you know, alcohol, drugs, sex, eating disorders. And I just went to that room that it said, and I met Goofy Gaffy Bob and Sally R. Those were the two first alcoholics that I ever met. And I just like put up the pamphlet and they were just like, come on in. And I don't remember what I said, but they were like, oh, go to this house. You know, you don't have, they said it was AA. And still I was like, I don't know about that. And they were like, well, you don't have to go, just go to this house. You don't even have to go to a meeting. Just go to the house. If you go in the middle of the day, just check it out. And so I went to the house. It was a small college town, but it was kind of like the main Al-Anon club. Anyway, so I went, but I was not going to go back because I was like, why am I here? And he said, if you don't go back, come back for this, you know, the pamphlet, because I just wanted to meet some young people that didn't drink. And so I went to that meeting. I don't know when, very shortly after that. And it was all these young, you know, young college students. And I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. There was a really hot guy that I zeroed in on. And then there was this girl, and we were both like, you look so familiar. And it took us like an hour to figure out that we used to drink together for like a year. And she was sober. She'd been sober for a year. I mean, my jaw dropped. I was like, what? I mean, I just couldn't fathom. Like, she told me she was an alcoholic and went to AA. And I mean, I was literally like, what? I was so, like, I just didn't think that I could be an alcoholic because I was young. I was female. I wasn't, you know, drinking out of a bag under a bridge. And I was just flabbergasted. And all these other people in this room were sober too. So she was like, why, do you want to go to a meeting? And I was just like, okay. And so I went to my first meeting on September 3rd of 92, and I was still smoking pot. And when I went to that meeting, I remember a couple things. I wanted to hear if anybody else was talking about any other drugs as opposed to just alcohol. So I was listening for that. And of course, the person that was talking about other drugs was that hot guy that I saw. And so I went up to him after the meeting and asked him, I said, well, what about pot? You know, and he's like, well, for my sobriety, you know, I just decided to stop everything. You know, stop all drugs, stop all alcohol. And I was like, okay. And he's like, cause I hadn't drank in like 2 months. That was a long time. And I was white knuckling it. But anyway, he said, well, when's the last time you drank or smoked pot? And I smoked pot the night before. And he was like, well, today's your first day of sobriety. And so I was like, awesome, and brought him back to my apartment and slept with him. that's just what I did. So anyway, that proceeded to be my first day of sobriety for 12 years. I stayed sober, and I moved to Austin when I had about a year and a half of sobriety, but I mean, you guys, I had so much fun. I mean, my life got better almost immediately, you know, it just did. And I threw myself into the program. I lived at meetings. I was still going to college. I, started, you know, I did really good too. I got straight A's and, but I had so much fun that first year. I mean, it was just so awesome to just have fun, meet people. I just didn't even know. Well, when I say have fun, it was like going to like AA dances and like, you know, game night at people's houses. I just kind of did whatever anybody said, you know, people just kind of took me under their wing, and I just did all that stuff. It was fun. And so I had a best friend that I met, Heather, and we decided to move. We picked Austin off of Road Atlas, literally, and moved here in May of 94. So I've been here, God, I can't even believe it, 26 years. And I had heard about Bolden up in Michigan. And so the first night I was here, I went to Bolden. And again, it was just tons of young people. And I just had so much fun, I just have to say. And so that 12 years of sobriety from that September 3rd, it was amazing. I mean, it really was. I went to meetings every single day, probably for about my first 7 years of sobriety. I was like, the program was my life, honestly. And I really didn't, they say like, change your playmates, change your playground, but I really didn't have any playmates, you know? So all my friends I made in the program, and you know, I just stayed. I didn't go to bars. Like, I just didn't have any reason to go to bars for a long time. I started going to see music, but anyway, you know, a lot of great things happened. I went back to school. I graduated. I bought a house. I, you know, got a great job and a brand new car, and the sex stuff was still happening. It was still happening, but at least I was sober. So, but for that 12 years, I had a sponsor, and, you know, worked through all of the steps. And what I realized is that, you know, I get to work the steps. We get to work the steps on everything. So, let's see. I'm keeping an eye on the time. Let's see here. So I guess it was, I'm just going to kind of stroll by that 12 years of sobriety. It was great. It was awful. I had a couple of the person that I loved more than anything, a man that I loved, OD'd on heroin in 1998. That was probably the closest time that I ever drank. I started smoking cigarettes again. But I guess it was around two. I made it through that. Let me just say that was a huge, I don't need to skate by that. Like, I did not have to drink over that. And I've seen people over the years go through absolutely everything and not drink or drug or, you know, harm themselves in any way. And I was able to make it through that through going to tons of meetings and working the steps and having a higher power in my life. Somewhere in the late 90s, I started being like the online dating queen. Like, before it was a big deal, like, people would like be, oh my God, what are you going to do? And so I was dating a lot, and I met some guy in 2003 in Dallas. And so I moved to Dallas at the end of the year, right beginning of 2004. And when I was, when I had met him, I started doing some other work outside of AA, some kind of like self-help, self-actualization type stuff. And it really brought me, it brought me away from AA. Like, I got really heavy into these courses that you would take. And so before I moved to Dallas, I was going to these meetings and starting to like feel like I was, like, I really kind of stopped listening to newcomers. And I kind of thought, like, you know, that I had this thing licked, you know, that I would never drink again. And I moved to Dallas. That relationship did not work out. But I did get a home group up in Dallas. So I got a sponsor and met lots of people, but I was going to that other program. And I thought, you know, at one point I was like, God, I just want to like date and have a drink of a glass of wine, just like a normal person. And, you know, I didn't drink wine, but I never drank like a normal person anyway, but I really, I wanted to. And so that was like my first thought of what was coming, a relapse. And I never told anybody because I had 12 years of sobriety and I was too prideful to tell anybody. But I was also not going to very many meetings anymore. And I was starting to feel really sorry for everybody in AA, you know, because they were so fucked up and had all these problems. And I was doing this other work and so for about a year, I was, started really obsessing about drinking and I started sleeping around really bad with guys and I started going to bars drinking near beer. Like I never liked the taste of beer anyway. And I also like was a big gin drinker. I didn't like the taste of alcohol. I mean, I never liked it. I liked the effect. But I started drinking near beer because that was like the only thing that I thought that I could get away with, you know? And so I started drinking a lot of near beer and sleeping around. And I had went out on a date with this guy that was married. And, and I hadn't gone to a meeting in 2 months. The last time I went to a meeting, I was sharing and some woman came up after me and she's like, "You're going to drink." And I was just like, you know, whatever. And that same meeting, a woman, she was probably 80. Who knows how many years of sobriety she had. I guess I was talking about that other stuff I was doing. And she was like, "Honey, just stick with AA, you know, screw all that other stuff." And I just rolled my eyes and I went out with that guy that night. And I was like, God, you know, after a year of obsessing about drinking a glass of wine, I said, "God, I really want to order a glass of wine." And he was like, "Waiter." And I was like, God, I was like, "Ed," I'm like, "I can't, you know, I can't drink." And he's like, "Yes, you can. Yes, you can." He was a total drunk. And so the waiter came and he was like, what do you want? Red or white?" And I'm like, "I don't fucking know, red." And so he brought a glass of wine and you know what? I certainly did not think about calling anybody at all. And I literally, maybe for like a tick of a second, I was like, "Uh-oh." And I just said, "Fuck it." And, of course, you know, that was a really awful night. You know, I just, it was, you know, you hear about that and I don't even, you know, it's no matter like if you hear about people that have like, you know, double digit sobriety or however long of sobriety. And then you go back out and drink and you hear people say, you know, it's as if you never stopped. And it's so true. It's as if you never stopped and had been drinking the whole fucking time. Because when I started, it was way worse. And I drank for 2 weeks only, thank God. But the other thing is I was on medication and I was like, well, you know, not supposed to drink on this. So I abruptly stopped taking medication that, you know, clearly should not have done. And so for that next 2 weeks, that night was just, oh God, it was so awful. And I woke up in the morning in his roommate's bedroom, just like, still drunk, 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, and I was like, what the fuck did I just do? And I was so remorseful, so drunk. The guy that I went out on a date with had like locked my purse in his bedroom. And I mean, oh God, I'm like, anyway, I got my purse, drove home drunk and like proceeded to be drunk 24/7 for the next 2 weeks. It was awful. And I had an opportunity to move back to Austin and come live in a house for free. So the only time that I wasn't drunk is when I drove that U-Haul back. I don't remember a lot of that actually, but I came back and proceeded. Oh, this is funny. So I came back and I had the U-Haul, but you know, now I didn't have any friends because I wasn't in AA anymore. So I was like, and I was living in like the hood in Southeast Austin, you know, with bars on the window and I had my dog and my truck had broken down and I was crazy. And so the next morning I went to the gas station, you know, and there was this guy and I was like, "Hey, you know, do you know anyone that can help me unload this U-Haul?" So I go with this guide. It was like Crackville apartment complex. And he goes and gets his buddy again with no teeth. So here, and another toothless guy that's helping me. So I told them if they would help me unload the U-Haul, that I would buy them a case of beer. What I meant was, move my shit, then I'll buy you a case of beer. So they went and ordered a case of beer. And I was like, well, so I got some couple bottles of wine. And so they unloaded my U-Haul for me. I mean, we were so fucked up by noon. And I mean, they were breaking shit, rolling it down the little dot thing. And I was like, I don't care. And the guy had his arm around me. I mean, I was literally thinking like, these are my new friends, you know? And I don't know how many of you know, I know a couple of you people might know, Bill Spencer. He's a very good friend of mine. And I had called him for 3 days in a row because I was like, what the fuck am I doing? And so he finally called me back and I told him that I'd been drinking, and he picked me up and brought me to a meeting. And that was April 4th of 2005. And I've been sober ever since. Thank God. It was not easy. It was not easy at all. I was off that medication. I had been drinking for 2 weeks straight. I was crazy. I really was. And I cried and I was so angry. And I went to meetings every day, like did not want to be a newcomer. I thought everybody was talking about me. And I would sit next to Bill and I would be like, I already know that. Well, clearly if I knew everything, I wouldn't have drank. And I have to say that these last 15 years of my life, my sobriety means so much more to me. I listen to newcomers always. Like, I never want to go back there. If you, wherever you are at with your sobriety, you never have to go back there. Wherever you came from, you don't have to go back. Whatever has happened to you, however old you are, young you are, how many times you've drank or drugged or whatever situation that you're in, like, you never have to go there again. And you just have to do a little bit of work, you know? And so that's what I did. I threw myself back into the program. I did what I did when I first got here. And I have a new sponsor. I've had the same sponsor now for almost the entire time I've been sober. I've worked with a lot of sponsees over the years, and it's just as important to me to work with others than it is for me to even have a sponsor. Like, I learned so much from my sponsees. And but these last 15 years have been really difficult. I've lost a lot of pets. I don't have children, so my pets have been my children. I've lost like 3 dogs, 3 cats. I've lost so many jobs. I had a lot of, just a lot of like emotional like stuff. I guess these last 15 years you hear about emotional sobriety. And I think that's what this last 15 years has been for me is, you know, cause I don't want to drink. I've never thought about drinking. Through any of the things these last 15 years, have I ever actually thought about drinking? I have thought about killing myself. I don't want to drink. Like, I just want to like end it. You know, I don't have those thoughts very often. But I have, that's kind of where my head would go. But, 6 more minutes. Life is good, even though it's been a challenge, it's still really good. And, I'm really, really, really grateful that Snow asked me to share my story, because it's been a while. I haven't shared my story in a long time. I used to share it every year when I picked up my chip. And so what a time to tell my story, you know, on Zoom. This is pretty cool. I know some of you are like newly sober or have been sober for a while. And I just want to say that I'm seeing people get sober on Zoom. Like, it's so cool. And so really, I really believe that we can get sober and stay sober through anything. I mean, look, I mean, like on Zoom, or I just, circumstances just don't make us drink. You know, it's not the circumstances. And if we have a desire to stop drinking, stop drugging, stop whatever it is, and want a better way of life, we have so many tools. And, you know, I still go to meetings, not a lot of meetings, but I love these Zoom meetings so much. You know, I really miss, I'm sure a lot of you do too. Like you guys are a lot of you are together. You're lucky. You're lucky to be together right now. I was just, telling my sponsor that I miss, that physical human connection. So before y'all leave or have to leave, they're like, hug each other, really. Because I just tell my sponsor, I'm like, I haven't hugged anyone. We're huggers, you know, I miss like hugs. Let me see if I missed anything on my notes. So I guess too, one of my like biggest messages from my story is that I always want to tell people is not to keep secrets. Like I know that like, I'm glad that I had that relapse because in the back of my mind, it was like, God, you know, I got sober really young and maybe yada, yada. But sometimes I wonder, you know, it doesn't matter, but I do kind of wonder sometimes if I would have said something to someone, you know, and then didn't obsess for a year. But I always just tell people, like, don't keep secrets. I mean, people, my sponsor knows every single thing about me, everything. And it is so amazing to be able to have someone, I have several people actually now in my life that know everything about me. Like, and I can say anything, and I will not be judged. And I just love that, you know, through these 12 steps and through community and people that are in recovery, it is just the greatest feeling to be honest, you know, and to not have, like, I'm such a fucking liar about everything. And and the other thing, so that's a big thing, do not keep secrets and ask for help. Jeez, I ask for help all the time still, especially from my sponsor. I need a lot of help. One of the things I need a lot of help with still is kind of seeing my part in things. Cause I still like want to like blame it on whatever, you know, people or circumstances or whatever. And so she's super helpful and I have the ability to be able to look at myself, you know, and, you know, make amends or just see myself clearly. It's something, that I love. Oh, hey, this is another thing. This is so off the subject, but another thing that somebody told me when I got sober was to get a hobby. And so I think it's like a really good idea, especially now. I mean, come on. So I've done all kinds of stuff over the years. Jewelry, sewing, painting, mountain biking, yoga, meditation, skydiving, scuba diving, running, lifting weights, Tai Chi. Those are just some ideas. Anyway, so I think that's about it, guys. I feel so, even though nobody has said a peep, like I know that you are all there and I see you going. So it's great. And, I love that we can all be together and I'm just really happy for y'all that you're getting this opportunity. So if it's the first time or the 10th time or whatever, just keep coming back and you never, ever, ever have to go back there. And so, thank you so much. And it's really good to see you, Chris, and love you guys.